planning to turn to the book of 1 Peter, chapter 2. 1 Peter, chapter 2, and we'd like to read the first 10 verses. 1 Peter 2, verses 1 through verse 10. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile, and hypocrisies and envies, and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness unto his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Three times in these verses, we read that Christ is precious. We are told in verse 4 that Jesus Christ, though disallowed, refused, and declared invalid, we read, disallowed indeed of men, but that is, on the other hand, chosen of God and precious. In verse 6, the same thing is said again when Christ is referred to as elect, same as chosen, elect, precious. And then in verse 7, we read the words, He is precious. Now that which is precious is, of course, of great value, but more than that, it's priceless. It's value that cannot be calculated. It is immeasurable worth. That which is precious is incomparable, is unparalleled. It's irreplaceable. Cannot replace that which is precious. The word precious also has reference to that which is cherished, that which is treasured, that which is beloved and adored. Now in verse 4 and verse 6, Christ is declared to be precious to God the Father. And then in verse 7, though Christ is not precious to all, there are certain ones who regard Jesus Christ as precious. And we want to take the thought of the message today from verse 7, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. I want to speak upon the subject of precious Christ. The first thing we see is that Christ is precious to those who believe. And that immediately raises the question, who are these who believe? Describe these who believe. Because we read the devils believe. Christ certainly isn't precious to them. So, Who are these who believe? Well, they are the ones that have been brought into a condition to believe. And they have been brought into a condition where they place worth in Jesus Christ. And they have been brought into a condition where they appreciate and recognize the value of Christ. This belief is more than a head knowledge. It's more than a historical belief, believing some facts concerning Jesus Christ. Unto you, therefore, which believe, this is saving faith. It is a belief that changes your thinking of Jesus Christ. If you do not have a belief that changes your thinking of Jesus Christ, you do not have the belief that we're talking about here. It is a belief that changes one's viewpoint and perspective concerning Jesus Christ. It is a belief that changes one's attitude toward Jesus Christ, changes one's feelings toward Jesus Christ, changes one's reaction toward Jesus Christ. This is saving faith. It is a belief that changes an individual, changes an individual's view of Jesus Christ, changes an individual's view about self, changes an individual's view about life. Now in our text, those who believe are described. They are described in a variety of ways. The first thing we notice about them is they are described as newborn. In other words, they are those who have been born again. One will never ever believe savingly without being born again. So these are individuals that have experienced the new birth. And the new birth is not something you get over. The new birth is not something that you forget. It's a miracle that took place in your life. So these that believe are those who have been born again. They are also described as those who have a specific desire. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Those who believe, again, more than a historical belief, more than a head knowledge. Those who truly believe savingly, they have an aspiration. They have a yearning. They have a longing, they have a craving, they have an eagerness, they have an enthusiasm for the Word of God. And they have a desire for spiritual development. Those who truly, savingly believe. We see also those who believe have personally experienced the graciousness of the Lord. Verse 3 says, if so be ye have tasted, that's personal experience, that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Those who believe in the context are those who have personally experienced the graciousness of the Lord. But not only that, they are described as those who have come and continue to come to Jesus Christ. Notice verse 4. To whom coming, present tense. Not only have we come, but we continually come to Jesus Christ. We do not stop coming. They continue to come because of their personal experience. If your personal experience of Christ does not compel you to keep on coming to Him, you don't have much. You don't have much of an experience. If that experience alone does not compel you to keep on coming to Jesus Christ day after day, moment by moment, that experience hasn't made much of a difference in your life. So those who believe here are those who not only have come, but they continually come to Jesus Christ. They can't help themselves. We see also they are described in verse 5 as lively stones. That is, those who believe, they're energetic. They're active. They're full of life. They're exuberant for Jesus Christ. This is far different than many today who say, "Oh, I'm a believer." But are you the kind of believer that we're reading about here? Makes a difference. Verse 6, Christ is pictured as the cornerstone. He's pictured as the foundation. And to the one who truly believes, Christ is a solid rock of stability. A solid rock of stability of hope. It is added in verse 6 that those who believe that they shall not be confounded. That is, they will not be ashamed. They're not ashamed of Christ. They're not ashamed to have their lives built upon that cornerstone. Built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. A true believer is not ashamed. A true believer desires for his or her life to be built upon Jesus Christ, the foundation. Do you notice also in verse 7, those who believe are contrasted with the disobedient. That means those who believe are obedient. They are compliant to God's standard. And yet we have many today who live lives continually of disobedience. But they want you to believe that they are believers. But don't you see that believers are contrasted with the disobedient? They're not lumped together with the disobedient. They're different than the disobedient. They obey the Lord. We see also that they are contrasted with those who disallowed Christ. That those who disallowed Christ are those who dismiss Jesus Christ out of their lives. And there are many, they give no thought of Christ. They dismiss Christ out of their lives. They throw Christ aside. But they want you to believe that they're believers. Just like you. The true believers do not refuse Christ. Do not cast Christ aside. But true believers reverence Christ. True believers appreciate Jesus Christ. In verse 9, we see that those who believe are described as those who are so blessed of God that they are different. Notice the first two words of verse 9, but ye. But ye are different. Ye that believe, you're different. You're not like everybody else. God has changed you. Your belief changes you. Verse 10, we see more about this change, which in time past were not a people. Those who believe, God's grace has made a difference in their life. I ask you today, do you know anything about this kind of belief? I ask you today, do you believe? I'm not asking you if you believe that Jesus Christ existed. That's not what I'm asking you. I'm not even asking you if you believe certain historical facts about Christ. I'm not asking you if you believe in the crucifixion. I'm not asking you if you believe in the resurrection. Because you can believe all of those things and die and go to hell. That is a historical belief. Just like you believe in Abraham Lincoln or George Washington. I'm not even asking you if you believe what the Word of God says about Jesus Christ. I'm not asking you if you haven't had knowledge of Jesus Christ. What I'm asking you is, have you been born again? Do you have a belief? Do you have a belief that causes you to desire, to hunger, to thirst for the Word of God? Do you have a belief that desires spiritual development and growth? This is the belief that is described in our context. Do you have that kind of belief? Have you personally experienced the graciousness of the Lord? Have you come to Jesus Christ? And do you continually come to Jesus Christ? These are signs of a believer. These are signs of saving faith. Do you have a belief that makes you exuberant and energetic, and active, and obedient to Christ? Do you have a belief that causes you to build your life upon Jesus Christ? Do you have a belief that fills you with reverence and appreciation for Christ? What you believe about Christ, does it make a difference in your life? Does it make a distinct difference in your life? We are told specifically in verse 7, unto you which believe, he is precious. Unto you which believe in this way, Jesus Christ is treasured. Jesus Christ is cherished. He is considered to be priceless. He's immeasurable. He's incomparable. He's unparalleled. He's irreplaceable. If you've truly believed, you know that you cannot replace Christ. He's irreplaceable. So we see those who believe are described. But we are told that those who believe find Jesus Christ to be precious. So in what ways is Jesus Christ precious to those who believe? There are many. Far too many to know, far too many to express. When we think about the incarnation, the fact that Jesus Christ left the majesty and splendor of heaven to come to this sin-cursed earth, he's precious. He's immeasurable. When you think of his public life, when you think of his earthly ministry, the fact that he went into places of darkness and brought light. He went into places of death and brought life. Went into places of need and brought provision. Went into places of brokenness and brought mending. Places of hurt and brought healing. Places of hopelessness and brought hope. He went into places of distress and anguish and brought comfort and relief. And as you follow the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ, he is precious. He is precious. When I think of his suffering, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, when I think of him sitting at the right hand of God as the living one, as the prevailing one, as the honored one, as the accomplisher of his work, and as the conqueror of all his foes, he is precious. When I think of the person of Jesus Christ, he is precious. And we think that he is infinite. He is immeasurable. He's eternal. He's immutable. He's immortal. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. He's holy. He's spotless. He's pure. Absolutely impeccable. Without any sin. Without any fault. Without any flaw. Without any defect. Without any blemish whatsoever. Without any weakness. He is precious. When you think of the person of Jesus Christ, when you think of all the names and all the ways that Jesus Christ is presented in Scripture, He is precious. When you think of the offices of Christ, prophet, priest, and king, He is precious. When I think of the blood of Christ, in fact, we read there in 1 Peter that we read of His precious blood. When we think of the blood of Jesus Christ, that is precious. When we think of the fact that Jesus Christ lovingly and willingly took all of our sin and went to the cross, was made a curse for us and received what you and I deserve, and we personally experience that, He is precious. The one who for me was despised and rejected. The one who for me was put to grief. And for me was wounded and bruised. Who for me laid down His life. How can He be anything but precious? How can you possibly even attempt to replace Jesus Christ? When I think of the righteousness of Jesus Christ that was put to our account, He is precious. When we think of the love of Christ, that eternal, that immutable, unconditional, infinite, invincible love of Christ that turned not away from sacrifice, oh, how precious is Jesus Christ. And I think of the teachings. To those who believe, the teachings of Jesus Christ are precious. To those who believe, you don't try to do away with the teachings of Christ. Those are precious things. You don't try to find loopholes. You don't try to twist it until it means nothing. The teachings of Christ are precious. And if the teachings of Christ are not precious to you, you need to really examine whether or not you believe. Because those who believe, the very teachings of Christ are precious. The promises of Christ are precious. The interests of Christ are precious. And oh, certainly the benefits of Jesus Christ are precious. Because of Jesus Christ, I have eternal life. Because of Jesus Christ, I have been reconciled to God. Because of Jesus Christ, I have been made nigh. I've been redeemed. I've been delivered from the curse of the law, delivered from the power of darkness. All because of Jesus Christ. He's precious. I'm a new creature in Christ. I am accepted by God in Christ. I have fellowship with God through Jesus Christ. Because of Christ, I am rich beyond imagination. Because of Jesus Christ, I have assurance of final victory. And I have a glorious future. All because of Jesus Christ. He's precious. He's irreplaceable. He's incomparable to those who believe. He's not precious to all. Some have disallowed Him. Some have thrown Him aside. But to those who believe, Those who truly, savingly believe, the ones we've described earlier. Christ is precious. The one way to examine whether or not you're saved is, what think you of Christ? What think you of Christ? Is Jesus Christ precious to you? He's the one and only hope of sinners. He's the one and only Savior of sinners. That means He's rare. That means He's precious. He is the only one who can deliver and rescue from the power, from the sway, from the control, from the influence of sin. He's the only one. He is God's remedy. He is God's solution to man's greatest problem. Therefore, He is precious. He's not only God's remedy, He's God's provision for man's greatest need. He's precious. He's my hiding place. He's my rock. He's my friend. He's my shepherd. He's my bread, my water, my counselor, my peace, my joy, my all. He is precious. He is precious. And to you, therefore, which believe, He is precious. He's cherished. He's held dear. You don't want to let go of Him. You can't stand to be away from Him. He's precious. You esteem Him. You treasure Him. You adore Him. You love Him. And the stronger our belief, the more this is so. What price can you put upon Christ? He's priceless. What can you compare to Jesus Christ? All earthly comparisons are blasphemy. He's incomparable. What can possibly equal Jesus Christ? He's unparalleled. What can possibly replace Jesus Christ? He's irreplaceable. Unto you which believe, He is precious. What are some of the evidences that Christ is precious to us? Notice verse 7. Unto you. Unto you. It's not unto us, it's unto you. It's personal. Saving faith is personal. Unto you, therefore, which believe, He is precious. This belief is practical. And the more we believe, the more convinced we are, and the more persuaded we are that Christ is precious. Again, that word precious speaks of that which is priceless, that which is immeasurable, that which is incomparable. That which is unparalleled, that which is irreplaceable, that which is cherished, that which is treasured and revered and loved. Is Jesus Christ truly precious to you as an individual? Do you take great delight in thinking of Him? Do you think of Him? Do you think of Him every day, or do you live your life oblivious to Jesus Christ? and yet say, I believe, I'm a believer. But to those who believe, he's precious. That means we take delight in thinking about him. We take delight in hearing of Jesus Christ. There are those who claim to believe today, and yet they get offended when they hear of Jesus Christ. Those who find him precious take great delight in seeing Jesus Christ. They thank him. They praise him. Again, I think of the woman which was a sinner in the house of Simon the leper, and there she is at the feet of Jesus. And when she thinks about the one that she sinned against, she wept. When she thought of his amazing love and his amazing grace and mercy that reached her in her sins and her unworthy state, she wept. She wept and wept and wept. So much so that she began to dry his feet with her tears. And then she began to kiss his feet over and over and over again. She didn't care what anybody else in that house thought. Jesus Christ was precious to her. How precious is Christ to us? Is he so precious that he penetrates our life? Is he so precious that he possesses our hearts? Is he so precious that he has the preeminence in our life? Not just a place in our life, not just a part of our life, but our life. But our life. So many, they're trying to fit Christ into their life. If he's precious to you, he is your life. It's not just an every now and then thing. If Christ is truly precious to us, you can't stand being at a distance from him. You can't stand it. You can't lay down sleep at night knowing that you are at a distance from Jesus Christ. If you can go through your life knowing that you are at a distance from Christ and do not care, you have every reason to question whether or not you've ever truly believed. Because those who believe, he's precious. And when we get away from Jesus Christ, we're miserable. Because he's precious. Christ is truly precious to us. The more grieved and distressed we are when he's made light of. When someone makes light of Christ, it ought to bother us. It ought to grieve our hearts. The more precious Christ is, the more sinful sin becomes. The more disgusting sin becomes, and the more brokenhearted we are over sin. Christ is precious. We dare not justify sin. We dare not minimize sin because it's against Christ. We dare not trifle with sin where Christ is precious. So I ask you this morning, is this Christ precious to you? So much so that you are willing to give up your own wisdom that you might be entirely under his guidance. Or are there other things, other people, that mean more to you than Jesus Christ?
Is this Christ precious to you?
So much so that you are willing to subject yourselves entirely to Him and to yield everything to His government. Is Christ precious enough to you to be willing to forego everything that is contrary to His person? To forego everything that is sinful? Is Jesus Christ so precious to you that you are willing to practice everything that's good? Everything that is in accord with Jesus Christ? Is Christ so precious that you're willing to give up everything for His service? That you're willing to part with anything that might stand in the way, that might stand opposed to His service and His honor? How precious is Jesus Christ unto us? Unto us which believe. First of all, can you put yourself in that category? Unto us which believe. Well, Brother Dan, I believe what the Bible says about Christ. That's not what I'm asking you. You can believe everything the Bible says about Christ and die and go to hell. That's not what we're asking. We're asking, have you savingly believed in Jesus Christ as a result of the new birth? Unto us which believe. And we have seen briefly, without going into detail, we have seen briefly those who believe, the characteristics of these individuals. Are you a believer? Are you a believer in Jesus Christ? If not, that should be the only thing that concerns you right now. You need to believe. You must be born again. You need a miracle that only God can bring. We that believe, Jesus Christ is precious. Christ is precious to us. How can someone, people do it all the time, and they'll swear up and down, "Well, I'm saved, I know I'm saved," and they try to defend ungodliness? That's not what a believer does. Goes against everything in the Word of God. And unto us which believe, He's precious. That means that He's worthy of praise. He's worthy of adoration. He's worthy of surrender. He's worthy of obedience. Is Christ precious to you today? Is Jesus Christ your life? Is He what you're living for right now? Think about this. Somebody sins and you get angry. Why are you angry? Why are you upset? You need to ask yourself that question. Why am I upset? Is it because how it affected your life? Or is it because it sinned against Christ? Which is it? And many times, if we're honest, we get angry because it affects us. It's not about us. It's about Him. If Christ is precious to us, the reason that sin so offends us,
Because it's against Him. It's against Him. Oh, how could they do this to me? You need to fall on your knees and repent right then and there. It's not about you. It's about Christ. How can they do this against Christ? How can they sin against this Christ? Is Christ precious to you today? It's manifest in our life one way or the other. Whether or not Jesus Christ is precious. Our lives are a manifestation of what we're living for. Our lives are a manifestation of what is truly important to us. Not what we say, but how we live. Unto you which believe, He is precious. Are you willing today to place your eternity in the hands of Christ? As we've said many times, everyone here is depending on something. Everyone here is depending on something for eternity. I'm placing it all on Jesus Christ. Placing all my hope on Jesus Christ. And He's precious to me. Little Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse 7.